I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again! It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 215. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the WEEI YouTube channel. Subscribe there. Find the Play Tessie playlist there. It's got all our episodes in video form. Hit the thumbs up. You know the drill. And find us on all of the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Got tons of videos out there all the time. Just had some really good ones with Carlos Narvaez. We'll have others coming, so be sure to follow on all the social platforms. So today's game got rained out, so we're recording during the day. So we are coming off the Mets series. It's just now we've basically slept on it a little bit after the loss. And it is after a loss. It is after a series win, which it feels like the first time since... Okay, it was Kansas City was the last series win. And it's kind of one of those ones where you don't know exactly how the pod should go, but I lean towards it should be pretty positive here because the Mets are a good team. They've got a good record. They've played good ball this year. And the Sox bullpen, which has been heavily scrutinized, heavily criticized this year, was nails in two games. They won you two games, full out, full stop. They won you those two games. Obviously, the third game came with a lot of, I would say, questions because Garrett Crochet pitched. There was no bullpen available to be seen. He was pulled at 85 pitches. It was a predetermined decision. We'll get into that. But they lost that game because they pushed Liam Hendricks for two, and that was never going to go well, and they were just never going to hold a lead if Crochet didn't get through seven innings, which at an 85 pitch limit was never going to happen. So the reason I'm positive here is because they won the two games that were winnable. And even though Crochet pitched the third game, if you don't have a bullpen and your starter's on an 85 pitch limit and the other team's bullpen is fully rested like the Mets guys were, and you have Brazoban going over two innings, yeah, like that's going to be a hard game to win. And so, yeah, the Red Sox did as well as you could have expected them to do. They won 2 out of 3, coming off a loss, going into a four-game series with Baltimore. It's going to be about how you move forward from here. It always is. But I tend to not enter this podcast feeling down about things, because if you told me the circumstances with Crochet and the bullpen, I would have expected a loss, and they won the two games before that, and they were kind of signature wins. So Sammy, correct me if I'm off base here with my vibe check, because we are a vibes podcast, and the most confusing podcasts are when they win the first two and then lose the third, or lose the first two and then win the third. At least when you're going series by series, which for whatever reason, it feels like we didn't mean for it to be like this, but it feels like every podcast we do series by series. By the way, it's Gordo and Sammy here. Pat out for one more episode. He will be back next podcast. Pat will be back.
Yes. Can't wait to see Pat again. Yeah, Gordo, definitely a positive podcast scenario, in my opinion. One thing I've complained about with these 2025 Red Sox is it feels sometimes like they are medicine for other teams. Teams come into Boston cold, like the Mariners were cold when they came to Boston, left hot, still hot. Toronto came in cold, left hot. Texas came in cold, left hot. It's like they keep doing this. They're medicine for teams that are struggling. So when the Mets were coming in, the whole conversation about them was Soto's being weird, which we'll get to. The Mets are cold as a team. They're not playing winning baseball. So my first thought, a little pessimistic, was, oh, great. The Red Sox are going to act as medicine for the Mets. Mets fans are going to take over Fenway. It's going to be disgusting.
Which they did.
Yeah, they did. The Mets fans definitely did take over Fenway for the first game, at least. A little bit less in game two and a lot less in game three. But still, they showed up. Credit to Mets fans. I feel like they're our frenemies because we both hate the Yankees. That's beside the point, though. I think the Red Sox played, you know, solid baseball this week, this early week series. It wasn't anything to write home about. I'm just happy they won a series, basically. Keep it simple. We don't have to think too much about won the first two, lost the last one. They won a series against a good team. We can leave it at that.
Yeah, and the truth is, like, if you look at the three facets of a baseball team, you've got the position players, you've got the starters, you've got the relievers. And while there's cause for concern with all three of these groups, right now I feel like before the Mets series, if you'd asked us which one you're most optimistic about, I probably would have told you the offense, because A, the group has probably shown the most promise out of all three units, and B, it has the most coming. Like, they still don't have Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer in it. In this series, you had Hunter Dobbins throw four and two-thirds, good innings, didn't get a lot of swing and miss, but got the job done. Bueller got thrown out of that game. We're going to get into that too, but he didn't allow a hit in his two-plus innings. And then Crochet didn't have his best stuff, still went 5 1/3 innings, one run. So starters were good. Relievers were flat out dominant in the first two games. And in the third game, again, like, what were you going to expect? No reliever on this team besides Liam Hendricks in a perfect world should have been pitching that game.
Yep. Where do we want to start with this? You want to go for once? You want to go game by game, kind of, sort of?
I would say let's start with the good and we can end with the bad.
Okay.
Because
okay.
How the went. I'll tell you where I want to start. I want to start with our new pal. Start with the Narv. Because
yes, the Narv.
So we talked to the Narv. We had him on the podcast. If you haven't listened, it's the episode right below this. He's awesome. Did not know much about him at all going into the season. Usually with young Latin players, you don't even necessarily know if either A, they speak good English, or B, will speak English with the media. A lot of them don't, but he speaks great English. And was totally down to do the interview with us. And I'll tell you, we asked him about the nickname stuff, and he's on board with the Narv. And after that interview, I was thinking to myself, he likes the Narv. He goes out there that night and hits the biggest bomb of his young career and propels the Red Sox to that victory. And at that point, it's like, his nickname is the Narv. Like,
you can't
fight
it.
He has two nicknames and one that I will deem acceptable. Narvi is, Sammy, it's exactly what you've been saying this whole time. You were right this whole time. Narvi is his standard nickname. That is, if you're going to address him in person, that's what you call him. That's what his teammates are going to call him, the coaching staff, whatever. He's got it tattooed on his arm. That's his nickname. But his, like, fandom weird Red Sox nickname, if you want to be like deep in the weeds with this team, like, he's the Narv. When you're talking about him, he's the Narv.
Yes.
And I'll accept the Narwhal too, because he thought that one was funny. So those are the three.
Yeah, like, the Narwhal, if he thought it was funny, then I'm cool with it. I also saw the Pot on Lansdowne guys were saying just Narv, which I'm kind of like in between on. I kind of like the Narv because, like I've said before, the Noid is what I got the Narv from. So there's a lot of good nicknames for him. I'm just happy that he's like, he's just a cool dude. I didn't know what to expect. And Gordo, like you said, there's often a language barrier with these international players. And for us content creators, it's a weird situation because, you know, like, we want to talk to everyone if possible, but we also don't want to put these guys in an uncomfortable spot. So Carlos Narvaez was just awesome, man. He was so cool. We saw him the next day. He was like, "What's up, guys?" So hopefully we'll get another episode with the Narv later in the season. He's great guy. I just can't, like, every time I look at his numbers and his Savant page, he's a good baseball Savant page to look at. I'm like, how the hell, like, what were the Yankees thinking? What were the Yankees thinking? Actually, I know what they were thinking. They were thinking, we have Austin Wells and they have that other kid in AAA. So they're probably like, yeah, we can afford to lose a catcher. But let me tell you, Austin Wells, 98 OPS plus right now, not even close to as good of a defender as Narvaez. So maybe jump the gun a little bit, Yankees. I don't know. But congrats. They have a nice high A pitcher that they got from the Red Sox. So yeah, that's exciting too.
Well, I mean, ERC, Elmer Rodriguez Cruz, he's been fine. But here's the Narv in the last 23 games. 333.
You know what I'm thinking? The Red Sox were probably like, Elmer is a tough name to make work. Let's trade this guy.
I like Elmer. Elmer's a good name. What are you talking about? That's a great name.
Elmer? Like, can you imagine if you were a professional boxer and they were like, your opponent's name is Elmer? You'd be like, oh, easy W.
People would have been like putting his face on glue sticks. It would have been great, but everyone certainly would have been not the
glue. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt your Narv stats, but yes, please give them to him.
Yes. Here are the stats. Last 23 games, 333, 5 home runs, 672 OPS. And he's been the best defensive catcher in baseball this year. Like, he's a rookie, guys. He's a rookie.
What'd you say the OPS was? How many games? Oh, one more time. Give me that again. That's impressive.
Last 23 games. So that's a lot of games. It's like half the season. Last 23 games, he's hitting 333 with 5 home runs and a 972 OPS.
Wow.
As a rookie.
Wow. That's your defense first catcher. And in the interview, which, like Gordo said, our last episode, you should go listen and then come back. He even said, like, I focus on defense first. My job is to be a catcher. And then, oh, by the way, I'm also raking. People are saying that he should hit cleanup. Like, kind of tongue in cheek.
I wouldn't move him. I wouldn't do anything.
I wouldn't either. But the fact that it's not crazy to say is crazy to me.
Oh yeah, I agreed. But it speaks kind of just as much to how dog shit the cleanup spot has been for the Reds. It doesn't matter who they, like, Willy Abreu, hottest hitter on the planet. They stick him in the cleanup spot. Sucks. Christian Campbell, easily rookie of the year favorite. Put him in the cleanup spot. It is torpedoed his season. Like, he's going to be back. I'm not doubting Christian Campbell or Willy or anybody, but the truth of the matter is the cleanup spot is where hot streaks go to die. So don't let the Narv anywhere near that.
What if they put the coldest hitter on the team in the cleanup spot?
They tried that in Trevor Story and it made him even colder.
Oh, that's true. I'm thinking, who's the coldest hitter on the team? Now Sogard got a hit the other day. Toro hasn't played. My brain is like trying to make me forget about what Trevor Story is not doing right now.
Yeah. We could have the same conversation every podcast about.
Can we not talk about Story?
We don't need to do that again.
God, it's so depressing.
I put a poll. The only thing I'll say out there is I put a poll out there, had over 1,000 respondents about when are you ready to give up on Story? And 49% of them were already there, already given up, said Meyer should be up yesterday. And like, the overwhelming majority of the rest of them said they were almost there. Like, almost everyone is out on this guy.
I don't want to give up on the guy, but, and this is the only Story tie. I just said, I don't want to talk about Story. Here I am talking about Story. That play, I think it was Acuna, hit a ground ball to shortstop last night. It was the most routine ground ball. He took a step
throw it to third too.
But more importantly, that throw to first look like a duck fluttering out in the wind. It was so, just call up Meyer and move Story to second. And if he keeps not hitting,
platoon them.
Then bye. Yeah, a gentle platoon. I need a word for it. I need a word for the platoon because I don't want it to be a full on platoon. Otherwise, my brain is like, no. But like a gentle platoon.
This is what they do. They do this with every lefty.
Gentle platoon.
It is perfect. Like, this is the perfect situation for it. You've got a star prospect that has had splits problems in the minors. Call him up. He faces all the righties. He plays most of the games that way, 75, 80% of the games. And Story, who still has, I forget the number, but it's like 870 something OPS against lefties. It's perfect. There you go. Sure. Or you could have Meyer playing and platoon Story and Hamilton at second, and Campbell's your first baseman. Do that too. I don't care, but Yeah. Again, we don't need to. We do the story thing every single podcast. I'm trying my best to stick with June 1st. I say June 1st. I say that, but I feel like I'm in my heart. I know I'm already there, and I think it should already have happened. But I really am trying to give the guy as much wiggle room as possible, just because he's an established guy. He's making a shit ton of money. He's got a shit ton of time left on the deal. So like, giving up on Story is not as simple as like giving up on when they gave up on Corey Kluber, which even then they took way too long to do. But let's talk about more good, because we don't need to get to the bad yet. Let's do some starting pitching. We can start with Dobbins, 4 2/3, one run, just a couple of Ks, just a couple of whiffs. The reason I want to bring it up is because he continues to be one of the only, I don't want to say he's one of the only Red Sox starters you can rely on, because I don't even know how much more you can rely on Dobbins compared to some of the other guys.
You feel comfortable when he's out there as a fan. Right now, you feel comfortable. That's the way to put it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, Richard Fitz had his first rehab stint today in Double-A, 3 innings, was like 38 pitches. So it feels like he's got probably one more rehab stint until they can bring him back if they want. They could extend the rehab if they want to kick that can down the road. My question for you is Dobbins the guy that gets removed for Fitz? Because like, it's not, like Giolito doesn't have options. I mean, Bayo probably does, but I feel like you want to give that guy some leash, some wiggle room to figure it out. Bayo's got a track record and a ceiling. So I don't know. It's a tough decision.
Yeah, it's Dobbins, because you have to see what you got with Giolito. And I know there's already people who want to pull the plug on Lucas Giolito. And I get it. He has not looked good for the most part. He's shown some signs. But again, like we've spoken about in the past, this is a guy who's gotten Cy Young votes before. We've seen him be an all-star. He's pitched 4 games. So I'm not ready to pull the plug on him. Imagine the Red Sox pull the plug on Giolito. He goes to the Angels LA. Or somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. Somewhere else. And he starts pitching well, and we're kicking ourselves like, oh my God, if they had just stuck with him, maybe this would have happened in Boston. So I'm not ready to pull the plug on him yet. Obviously not going to be Bayo. Who else we got? Who am I forgetting? Hauk has already been kind of...
It's not going to be Crochet. It's not going to be Buehler.
Well, Crochet had good numbers as a closer. What if you moved him to... No. Buehler. Yeah, Buehler, no. Okay, so it would have to be Dobbins by default, just because he's got options and he's the least senior on the staff, and you don't have that question of, this is a former all-star who's just getting back in the swing of things. We don't want to miss out on that upside. So you either keep Fitz in AAA or you have to send Dobbins back down. Yeah. So I think it's going to be probably 2 or 3 more rehab starts. I think they're going to slow play him.
They probably will.
Because they have that luxury.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they could do one if they wanted to. Like, he went 38 pitches today. He could go like 65 in the next one. I mean, he wasn't out that long. Like, usually guys who are out a month, they do one or two rehab stints in their back. But they'll probably, you're right, though, they'll probably slow play.
I also don't know how he felt. Like, he could have been like, I feel like I made it through the start, but I'm a little tight still. We don't know.
He threw 31 of 38 for strikes, and fastball got up to 95 in some bad weather. So I feel like it probably went well, but yeah, I mean, it's about how he bounces back too, like pain-free the next day. But yeah, I mean, it's just, the reason I talk about it is because Dobbins has been one of the better, more reliable arms. And I think it probably is going to be him getting removed for Fitz when that time comes, because I agree with you, Sammy, you gotta ride Giolito out. You got to see what you got. And you can't just pull the plug on a guy who's had 2 good starts, 2 bad starts. And is obviously trying to find himself after returning from a lengthy rehab process. Like, it's not going to be snap your fingers and Lucas Giolito is consistently every start a stud, but you just hope that sooner rather than later, you can get him to that point. And then if it's been a while and it's not working, then you can have that conversation. But it's just, to me, it's not fair to have that conversation yet. But I just wanted to get out ahead of it, because I mean, Dobbins could go down, and if he does, people are going to be pissed, but it probably is the call you have to make if everyone's healthy.
Yeah, there's a lot of like fringe rotation guys here, like right now, currently. Like Dobbins, we think will be maybe not a mainstay, but a guy that you could see in the rotation in the future. Same with Fitz, but neither of them are slam dunks despite the early success. So you kind of just have to manage it how we're talking about it. Dobbins has options. Fitz was really good in Major League Baseball to start this season, so you give him the shot. But like, what have you put any thought into moving either of those two into a bullpen role, I'm kind of not into that.
Well, Dobbins would be great out of the bullpen if they wanted to go that route. But the bullpen right now, like, there's no obvious weak point in the bullpen right now. And
yeah,
I mean, I put out the stat. So get rid of the third game, because the stat was from after the second game. So basically, the Red Sox played four games and they'd won three out of those four. And in the loss, the only reliever that went was Sean Newcomb, and he was basically put out there to eat the rest of the game. And he let up a couple runs in that process. Take that game out. That means you have the Devers walk-off game and the two Mets victories. In those games, the bullpen threw 16 innings and did not allow a run. That is 5 1/3 innings per game on average that the bullpen went there and didn't allow a run.
Way too much. Yeah.
Of course, it's too many innings, but it's a testament to how impressive they've been lately. And yeah, we'll get into the Liam Hendricks thing. He thinks he should be pitching more. Obviously struggled in his second inning of work in the last game. But there's no, like, if there was guys getting their shit wrecked at the bottom end of the bullpen, I would say, yeah, like, you could make the argument, put Dobbins there. Dobbins would have success in the bullpen. But right now, like, you're in May still. Like, you're going to need that starting pitching depth. Guys could get hurt. Like, you got to keep that depth. And if September rolls around and you're making a push for the playoffs and you think Dobbins is better than someone else that you have in that bullpen, that is when you make him a reliever or someone else a reliever. Or like, because, like, again, like, Dobbins could go down here and Giolito could shit the bed four straight times. And then you're having that conversation and who's going to replace him? It's Dobbins. And if he's shortened down to two inning spurts, then you got to stretch him out again. You never know if he's going to be the same because you cut him back down. You got to keep him stretched. You got to keep your options open with the rotation. They've been too inconsistent. We don't know who the top five guys are. As much as we like to think we do, we don't. So you just got to keep your options open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. And I know a lot of people listening are probably smashing their fists into the table being like, why would you not just get rid of Giolito? Can't. You cap the upside of the team if you do that. Like, again, I don't want him gone and then succeeding somewhere else. And we got to watch that all year long. Just, I would give
Giolito. He could be good. Like, people just write the guy. Like, he could be good. He's made four starts since his surgery. Like,
he's made four starts. People, chill with Giolito. Yeah, no, I'm not even close to giving up on Giolito. I think that he deserves a pretty sizable leash due to circumstance and due to track record. So I'm cool giving him another, like, seven starts. Legit. 7-8 four starts.
So before we get to some of the other good stuff, quickly, because I truly did not think this was even a story, but I guess it is with Cora missing the first game here for his daughter Camila's graduation. I didn't see anyone talk about it, but then a couple days later, now it's like all anyone's talking about. Do you have any problem with him missing that game? I certainly don't. Players have off days all the time, and when a family matter comes up for the manager, like, by all means, go be with your family. And they won the game. So, what? Like, why are we talking about it?
Yeah, it's stupid. His daughter graduated college. He gets one chance to do that. There's 162 baseball games in the season. Fuck anyone who's mad at Cora for that. That is so...
Yeah, it's like not even worth spending
right.
any
time. Yeah, if you're mad at Cora for that, you're an idiot. Thank you for listening. What else we got?
Oh, yeah.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus DNC supply.
Not care. Second game. Bueller, where were you at with him getting tossed? Just like place blame on the umpire, place blame on Bueller. Like, obviously the bullpen came in and more than did their job. They were used for 4 1/3 the day before with Dobbins only recording till two outs in the fifth. Bullpen was asked a lot that day and was subsequently asked a lot this game, and it was impressive to see what they were able to do. But the ejection was crazy. I think there's blame to be placed on both sides. I'm curious where you stand.
For sure. It was a pretty complicated situation. I think the bulk of the blame should be on the ump. The ump made that way more dramatic than it needed to be. Lou did a great job explaining it from the perspective of a former big leaguer. When you take off your mask as the ump, it shows aggression. That's an aggressive move. And these are humans. These are not robots, umps, players. They're not robots. So taking off the mask, walking towards Bueller, yelling, "Get back on the mound," when, by the way, he was on the mound when that was being yelled. I thought that was way over the top. Estabrook. I was forgetting
Mike
the guy's
Estabrook.
Name.
Yeah.
Mike Estabrook. A little bit over the top to take off the mask and come yelling. Of course, you know, pitchers, you're not supposed to argue balls and strikes. The pitch that Bueller was upset about, obviously a strike, but the runner was moving. Narvaez got up to catch it, so the ump just missed it. He missed it. So I don't blame Bueller for being upset. I don't blame the ump for being mad about getting critiqued. The blame begins with the ump being way over the top aggressive towards Bueller. Then Bueller has to take a little bit of blame because, you know, your team needs you out there. You can't say fuck you to the ump. You're going to get tossed. I don't know if that's the magic word, but I got to assume it's something in that realm. So I would say 75% of the blame on Estabrook, and the last quarter I'd give to Bueller. I don't know if that's fair or unfair. That's just the way I see it. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think if we're placing a majority blame, I agree with you. The majority goes on the umpire because he threw the first punch. He cut first. But if you're Bueller in that spot, you can't let it escalate to the point where the ump even has a chance to throw you out. Like, yes, the umpire, way too combative. He started the whole... First of all, he fucked up the call. Second of all, you're right. Bueller was on the mound and he said, "Get back on the mound." And obviously Bueller got mad as a result of that. But after that, and like, again, those are two major portions of the story that are on the umpire. But after that, if you're Walker Buehler, you got to know the situation. He said it later. He took accountability for it in the media. So props to him for that. And he knew he messed up by getting thrown out and putting his bullpen in that spot. But yeah, you can't put your bullpen in that spot. Like, you just got to eat it, get back on the mound, and make sure you get out of that inning scoreless. But yeah, a majority blame on the umpire because he fucked up the call and he instigated the nonsense. Like, Buehler let the umpire get under his skin and he shouldn't have, but like, the umpire fucked up the call and started the fight. Like,
I hate to use this guy as an example, but Wednesday night, Laz Diaz missed a call on Christian Campbell. It was a ball that was like 5 inches outside and below the strike zone. And you heard him right after, he goes, "My bad, Christian. I missed that one." And Campbell kind of looks at him, nods. It's over. It's human error. People make mistakes. But the ump was like, that was so, so dramatic, man. Like, come on, you're an umpire. If there's any job you need to have thick skin in, it's being an umpire.
So, Sammy, then, that brings us to the argument we had earlier regarding robot umps. Like, you're still not in favor of it. I personally would love it because you still have the challenge system. You can still challenge balls and strikes, but you'll still get that human element. Like, it's a win-win to get them in yesterday.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I don't think with the challenge system, I don't think we get that whole thing with Buehler. And regardless of how you feel about how it affects the team as a Red Sox fan, a Mets fan, whatever, just as a baseball fan, you cannot tell me that wasn't entertaining.
Lindor aspect of it was hilarious.
Like, yeah, right. He's like, throw him out. When there's beef between the players and umps, you never want to see it happen to your team. Everyone's felt that. Everyone's had an ump blow a call for their team. Most recently, 2021 for the Red Sox, Laz Diaz missed that strike three call with Evaldi, blah, blah, blah. But the entertainment factor, I think you would lose a lot of it if you had the robot umps, whatever you want to call them, ABS system. Not all of it, but you would lose a lot in stuff like that, like Buehler. Sure, I wish it wasn't the Red Sox, but that got me fucking fired up, man. I love that stuff.
But yeah, but would you rather have the call get right or just the entertainment factor? Like, it's cool in that moment, but in the grand scheme of things, you look back on it, you say like, oh, the umpire screwing everything up lost the Red Sox that third game.
For sure. I'd rather the call be right, but I like having the occasional blow up like we got the other day. Of course, I don't want umps to miss the call. I don't want people to think I'm saying that. I just love the human element of baseball. When there's a big fight between the ump and the manager, Cora gets going. Cora doesn't do it too often, but when he does, oh, that's entertainment. Purely, purely entertainment. You remove the Red Sox jersey and hat from Buehler. Remove the Mets from that's entertainment, man. I like that part. I'm not saying I'm anti-robot umps. I just don't want too much of it because I feel like we would lose a lot of that entertainment.
You know what I was entertained by? I was entertained that Lindor begged, hands on his knees, pleading for Walker Buehler to get thrown out of this game. And they still didn't score a run.
Yeah.
Bums.
The Mets. I can never take the Mets seriously, man. They could win the World Series and I'd still be like, you're still the Mets, man. Nothing against them. It's just like they're funny to me.
Well, they killed Juan. So like it took them. They signed Soto for like the rest of human history.
We should talk about Soto.
Oh yeah, let's do it right now. It took them a month and a half to let this guy break and lose his spirit and miss the Yankee. Like, Soto might be the only guy. We were talking about this at the ballpark. He might be the only guy to leave the Yankees and not lose aura. Like, usually guys leave the Yankees and they're just like, and
he never had a beard.
Never had a beard. And so Soto in this series, 2-for-10, 4 strikeouts, no extra base hits, hit the ball off the monster, didn't run, thought he got it, didn't get it, got a single out of it. Like, and this is in the midst of
the biggest thing. Allegations. The biggest thing, the shuffle's gone. Where's the Soto shuffle? That was like his thing for years. He doesn't do it anymore. What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what stood out to me the most. That was his whole character, is that he would make every at-bat like he's fighting the pitcher. And now he's just standing up there. His stance is different. He's more upright. Just doesn't look engaged. And, like, what could it be? It can't – like, you're still in the same city. You're still in New York. the Mets seem way more loose and way more fun than the Yankees. Like, the Yankees are like the corporate America of baseball teams. What's going on? Mets fans, if you're listening, tell us. It's bizarre. I mean,
it's crazy because coming into the series, there was a lot of Soto is unhappy, Soto is lazy. Like, that was the narrative on him coming in. And then in this series, you had him hit a high fly ball off the monster where he could have walked to second and he only got a single out of it. And you had him in the third game, first at bat, watches three straight strikes go by, doesn't lift the bat off his shoulders. Second at bat, takes a ball and then watches three straight strikes go by and strikes out. And then his third at bat, strikes out on three pitches. Like, I would understand any Mets fan that is panicking a little bit over the potential long-term ramifications of the deal, because he's going to end up being fine this year and he's going to put up numbers for the next few years, but you need this guy to be putting up numbers into his 30s and approaching 40. Like he's going to be there making a shit ton of money for a long time, and if this guy's already unhappy, he's already not himself, like, what the fuck is going to happen a decade from now?
His OPS currently is 175 points below what it was last year. 175. It's at 804. And 804, that's really good. But that's not Juan Soto really good. That's like if the Narv had an 804 OPS, I would lose my goddamn mind. I'd be running around the streets telling everyone about the Narv. But Juan Soto, you're not a defensive catcher. He needs to be, and this might be dramatic, he needs to be in that 900 realm every year for the money he's making. Otherwise, it's like, why'd you pay this guy for? He's not giving you anything on defense. I don't know, man. I really would love to talk to like a Mets beat writer or someone who's really locked in with that team, because I didn't want to give credence to anything Yankees fans were saying. Obviously.
They might be right. Dude, they might be right. Dude, Mets fans are in denial about it. I have a few Mets fan friends and they're in straight up denial about it.
How could you be in denial? Look, he looks like a different person. He's not doing the shuffle. The shuffle's gone.
They literally, when I talked to my Mets fan friend about the shuffle, he said, well, he says he's going to do it. What are you talking about? He used to always do it. He did it all the time.
What's he saving it for?
He's saving it for the World Series. Oh.
He's got a limited amount of shuffles.
He's got four shuffles he can use this year, Sammy. That's the quota.
Oh, I got four shuffles left. But you know, I hate to say it, maybe Yankees fans are onto something, because he looks...
No, I think they were right. He does not.
It might not be about the Yankees. It might just be like, you ever have...
Well, Sammy,
like,
here's this. You ready? Here's your theory. Going to Yankee Stadium obviously got in his head. And then he immediately goes to Fenway Park right from there, where he experienced the rivalry last year and clearly heavily considered signing this year. You saw his quotes with Jen McCaffrey where he's like, shit, like, I look at this lineup, I could have been in that lineup. Yeah, they were a serious player. Like,
he wants to be on the Red Sox. That's it.
Like, you just go back to back to the places you could have gone. And if you're already a little bit unhappy in the place you are, like, that can really fuck you up mentally, man. This guy, like...
What I wonder is, you know, like a guy like him, you're coming up through the minors. He debuts at what, like 19 or 20 years old? Let me check. 19. He was in 2018. He was 19 years old. Coming up through the minors, in the big leagues, playing really well. He's on all these paths to be in all these conversations with these all-time great players. Oh, you're this, you're that. Now you're a free agent. You're going to cash in. You're going to make life-changing money. And then he does. And then it's like, well, now what? I made the money. I got the big contract. That whole circus is over. Like, I'm thinking maybe he's having not an adrenaline dump, but just like a come down from the high of this offseason and last year. Where's he going to go? Yankees in the World Series. Oh my God. Judge, Soto, just so much going on. Signs with the Mets. Oh my God. And now it's kind of like back to regular baseball. Maybe it's something like that.
Who knows, man? Maybe something's going on off the field. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's not like he like moved from the bright lights of New York City to like shitbag Detroit. You know, like he's still in New York. He's in the same exact spot. The only difference is he's putting on a different uniform and going to a different place to work and working with some different people.
Well, I still think the thing the Yankees fans did in right field was dorky, though.
Yeah,
turn around. And I saw the roll call guy. The roll call guy is beefing with Robbins. Oh, I love it.
Roll call guy is a loser.
He is. But that, like I said yesterday, roll call guy beefing with Jared Carrabas, that is the spirit of the internet. That's what I want to see. That's entertainment right there. Just like Bueller beefing with Estabrook. Entertainment, baby.
Yep. All right. Last thing. Well, actually, couple things. We got a couple more things. Crochet, third game. Obviously, bullpen crushed it in the first two games and won you those games, undeniably. Third game, we go in thinking, okay, this is the game. Like, thank God you've got Garrett Crochet for this game because you're going to need him for seven innings at least to have a chance at this one. You're going to need Crochet to be his best, and you're going to need your offense to hit a little bit. Hopefully they can hit Tyler McGill. He's not that great. Turns out they strike out every single at-bat against him, is what it is. Crochet, turns out, predetermined Red Sox sports science department front office manager. Who knows? Who knows where the decision came from? I assume that it probably was not from the manager, but he was going to get pulled early. They were going to keep his pitch count down. This is a guy who, and I think it is valid that, yeah, this is a guy who didn't throw more than four innings in any start in the second half last year. He's never put together a full season of innings, and he's on pace to be amongst the league leaders in innings pitched this year and pitches thrown. Like, you got to be careful with this guy. This is maybe your most important asset is Garrett Crochet, and you can't let that guy drill himself into the ground and get hurt. So you got to be careful with him. I understand all that. And maybe these days are predetermined. These are going to be this is going to be his start number 11 is going to be his, we're going to pull him early and start number 11. And they figure that out in the winter. And like, they're just sticking.
It could also just been like the night before. Look at the weather report. It's going to be freezing cold.
Yeah.
Crochet has like the most pitches thrown in baseball or close to it. Why don't we ease him into or ease him out of this one? I don't know. There's
a million possible reasons.
It's predetermined. It seemed predetermined is the point we're trying to make here. 85 and it was, or whatever.
They said it was. And my gripe is not that they pulled him early, because I'm also of the mindset that when you win the series and you go into a finale already having won the series, those are the games where you can kind of give guys days off, take it easy a little bit, because you've won the series. You gotta look at it series by series.
Yeah, manage like conservatively. A little passive with it just to keep your guys safe. You've already won the series, like you said.
Right. So I get that. But what I don't get is knowing that Crochet was going to be held to maybe 80, 85 pitches. When you know that, and you know your bullpen is as decimated as it was, like Hendricks was the only guy in that bullpen that in a normal circumstance would have been available to pitch that day. Everyone else had either thrown multiple innings the day before. Yeah, fresh. But like...
fresh.
Every single other pitcher was either coming off a back-to-back, coming off multiple innings the day before, or was Sean Newcomb, who threw 70-something pitches with only 2 days of rest in the middle there. Like, Sean Newcomb and Brennan Bernardino ate it there, and neither of them should have been on the mound in that day. The reason I'm not like saying any of this cost them the game is because even if you make that move for another reliever, Liam Hendricks is still going to have to get pushed for two innings. And whether Crochet stayed in to finish the sixth and got to 100 pitches, Liam Hendricks was still going to have to go two innings in that game. And he was never going to get through that on two innings. So I didn't understand not calling for another arm. I'm not going to say it cost them the game, but it probably would have put your pitchers in a better situation, maybe not needing to go to Bernardino or Newcomb.
Yeah, I agree. That's the exact take I have. I understand what happened and why it happened. I don't understand why I didn't have a fresh arm up. Like, kind of weird. My question for you, I want to backtrack slightly and then tie it all together. The Walker Bueller Estabrook beef, which caused Bueller to leave the game early and the bullpen to have to cover a lot of innings the night before. Looking back, the few days of separation, was that a good thing or a bad thing? And look, the two schools of thought. Good thing, fired up the team. The Red Sox got a win when they had to overcome a lot of adversity. Bad side, you torched your bullpen. So where do you stand, Gordo?
I think it was a good thing, because I think a win like that in a situation like that, when you know guys getting thrown out of games, those are always points of inflection with sports teams. When teams get in brawls, when teams have guys get thrown out of the game, like. Those are things that could potentially launch a team, and they won that game. And yeah, I know they didn't win the next game, but again, like I said, the circumstances, it was going to be tough. And I get it was as a result of that, but this team needs any sort of spark it can get, and it got one there, and hopefully they use it to carry them through the Orioles series and beyond, and that's a launching point. But I think good thing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I think more good than bad. I think the emotion in that game helped them overcome the adversity. I don't want to say they would have lost if Buehler didn't get thrown out. That's a little crazy, but yeah, no, I'd lean more good than bad, especially today as we record Thursday, the 22nd. Game got rained out, which means doubleheader on Friday, but they get the extra guy, the extra arm. So yeah, I would lean more good than bad.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus DNC supply.
Let's quickly, before we get to enough said, talk about Liam Hendricks a little bit, because he had those quotes to Alex Speer and Pete Abe about wanting to pitch more. He's like, if you want the best me, you got to throw me. He said he called it a point of something.
Contention.
There's the word. Point of contention with him and the organization. Says they've had conversations. Cora said in the media, like, yeah, we got to use him. He's right. Got used in this game. Struck out two guys in the first, but then in the first inning of work, and then came back out and kind of got hit around a little bit. My thoughts on Liam Hendricks are, yeah, you probably should be using him more. It's just been tough because he's not at the point where you trust him in close games unless you need to throw him in that game like they did last night. But he's also, like, you don't want to throw him when you're down by six and there's three innings to go, like that's Newcomb. You want to save Hendrick. Like, so there hasn't been an ideal time to throw him. But that said, like, yeah, you do need to throw him because he does have the potential to get himself into a higher leverage role. But that said, it's like I am not at the point yet where I trust Liam Hendricks in a one or a two run lead if I have other guys available. Just not there.
Yeah, I'm not at the point where I trust Liam Hendricks in high leverage situations either. However, if he's talking like this, saying, if you want me to be at my best, you have to use me in the role I'm comfortable with, I don't hate the idea of just making him the closer and saying, hey, man, sink or swim. Like, you either get this done, you're confident in your ability to close games, you've been a multiple-time All-Star as a closer, go out there and close. If that's the role you need, go close. If not, cut ties. And that, I think you can do that because Chapman has had success pitching in innings other than the ninth inning. He's been great this year. I've said multiple times, I'd like for them to get a closer simply so they could use Chapman whenever he's needed because he's been so friggin' effective. Not saying he hasn't done a good job in the ninth inning. He obviously has. But you move Liam Hendricks kind of temporarily into that strict closer role. If he does well, fantastic. You just lengthen your pen. The other team has no clue when Chapman's going to come storming out of that bullpen. They're all... crap, here comes Chapman in the seventh inning. We got the heart of our order up, and now they got to face Chapman. That sucks. And you have a new closer. So you lengthen the bullpen, and you can use Chapman whenever you need. On the flip side, if Liam Hendricks fails, yeah, that sucks. It probably hurts the team for a game or two. But now you have clarity. Not a good fit. Sorry. We like you. You're a good guy. It's just not working here. We need more flexibility out of you. And if you're saying you're not able to move around how we need you to, sorry, I'm sure another team will pick up Liam Hendricks. That opens up a bullpen spot. You call up Guerrero or Birdie, whoever, and the carousel moves on. That's what I'd do. Sink or swim, Liam Hendricks. Let's see it.
I'll tell you, Sammy. I think the closer role is the literal last place I would put Liam Hendricks. Quite literally the last place I would put him. Because
where would you use him?
I would use him in low leverage and work him up. And if he fails and he's let up runs his last two outings, if he fails in that role, that's when you cut ties. Like, there's no reason to blow close games in the late innings. Like, those are the games that kill you. Like, don't forget, last year the season died when they had games against the Dodgers and the Rockies that they couldn't close in the ninth inning because they were putting out guys who shouldn't be closing games in that role. That's how you burn out bullpens, because you use guys like Chapman and Slayton, and then you lose the game, and now those guys aren't as effective the next day or maybe not available. And then also, just in regards to moving Chapman out of the role, I've said this before, but Chapman in the closer role is the one part of this bullpen that has been rock solid start to now. He has not faltered pretty much at all. He doesn't have a blown save. And it's not like you need a lefty specialist for somewhere else, because Justin Wilson's been nails in that role. So Chapman in the closer has worked perfectly. I like the ninth inning being locked down. I don't want to put the guy who I probably consider the least reliable option in the bullpen in the most important spot. I just
know that's fair.
That's how you torpedo a season right there. If you do that and he blows, you know, three straight saves, it's like, okay, now we can cut ties. If you want to cut ties, just cut ties.
Sure. The reason I'm saying this, I heard Papelbon talk on Foul Territory yesterday or the day before, and he was talking about defined roles in a bullpen and how important they are to certain guys. And Hendricks is a guy, we've seen him do it before, and his stuff is ticking up a little bit too. It's not great, but it's ticking up. So the way I'm looking at it is Chapman, who, by the way, ninth inning over his career, 2.43 ERA, eighth inning, 2.84, seventh inning, 4.6, but then the sixth inning, 1.42. So just something weird about the seventh inning, I guess, but he's moved around. He hasn't always been a closer. He can pitch in different roles. Hendricks, on the other hand, strictly a closer for like the last 10 years of his career. So that's my idea. It's out of the box. I realize that people aren't going to love it because it puts the Red Sox at risk, but it also gives the Red Sox opportunity to have upside that they desperately need, because as good as Chapman has been and as good we think Slayton and Whitlock can be, this bullpen is still super sketchy. Yeah, there's no one guy who's the one issue, but you still don't feel great about it, especially long-term. So this is just my kind of out-of-the-box way of maybe this is how you find a leverage guy. Maybe it is the role with Hendricks. Baseball's very mental. He's very emotional. Just think it's worth a try.
The thing is, Sammy, it's just you can tell, like, they have so much data, and they can tell with the literal pitch data if he's going to be effective enough to be in that role. I think it tells you everything you need to know that they haven't wanted to use him in these higher leverage roles yet. So I
that's
just,
the emotional part, though. That's what I'm saying is like, yeah, the data says he's not good, but he's telling you I'm a three-time all-star, multiple-time reliever of the year. Like,
why would he not say that? Of course he's going to say
that. If he's confident, man, baseball, very, very mental. Just think it's worth a shot.
Oh, I could not. I got to tell you, Sam, I couldn't disagree more. This might be my least favorite of your takes of all
it's
time.
It's scary. It's scary for sure. I feel you.
If they were like 10 games up in the division, it's like, okay, we'll give this a shot. And if it doesn't work, but it like, they're a game below 500. If they blow three winnable games like that, that's the difference between making the playoffs.
Sounds like what they're doing isn't working very well then. So maybe switch it up.
No,
I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying.
There are things that need to be switched up. That's
maybe
not
that.
What I would do.
I hear.
We got to get to enough said. Joe's got a radio show to produce, so we got to make sure we get out of here. Sam, you want to go first?
Yes. The Red Sox on Thursday have acquired a new first baseman, and his name is Ryan Noda. What do I want to say about Ryan Noda? He is alive. He was the 2023 Oakland A's starting first baseman. He was actually pretty good as a 27-year-old rookie. 2023 at a 770 OPS, 118 OPS plus. That's good. 170 strikeouts, not great. But he walks a lot. Sox like that, left-handed hitting first baseman.
He
doesn't have a criminal record. It's always
Listen,
good.
He's played first base before.
It's incredibly hard.
That's something not many other guys in the organization, if any, on the 40-man have done. So,
yeah, first base depth, the key to a winning team. And now the Red Sox have just that with Ryan Noda. He's a depth piece. It's not exciting. It's not sexy. But, you know, if Abraham Toro goes down, you know who to call. The Noda. Yeah.
The Noda.
No, we're not doing that. The Noda.
No, I mean, he could draw a walk and he'll go to AAA and you probably won't need him. But if you do, at least you got someone that's played the position and they'll work with him and maybe see if they can recapture some of what he had in 23, but probably won't. And they'll probably end up teaching Campbell first base and that'll get you to the deadline. And maybe they'll trade for like Reese Hoskins or something, someone who can hit out of the cleanup spot. I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. My enough said before we get out of here is just a quick little rest in peace to the bullpen phone. Cora wrecked that shit in game two. That was fucking awesome. And then we were there before game three and they hadn't replaced it. Hopefully they've replaced it by now because it was pouring today. So if they haven't replaced it and that thing is, I mean, phones are electronic. So if that thing's not waterproofed or something.
Oh no. What if it accidentally electrocutes Cora? What if he's like, hey, can we go? And then he's out for another game. You think people will be mad at him?
This guy, he's not managed. He's in the hospital. What the fuck? Why are you spending time in the fucking hospital? They're playing the Orioles.
This guy sucks. He got electrocuted.
Where's Ramon?
Ramon wouldn't have been electrocuted.
Ramon would have had. Well, he would have had silver cups rubber of string ready to go.
Ramon puts rubber caps on his ears for situations like this in case the
Come
phone's
on.
Electrocuted.
God. Hire Ramon, man.
Fire.
Oh, fuck.
Fire Cora for getting electrocuted by the bullpen phone.
You get zapped, you get canned. Your job's to be in the dugout.
You get zapped, you get capped. That's where you were going.
You get zapped, you get capped.
This got dark. We got into like electrocution and execution from the bullpen phone.
Wait, one more enough said. If Joe, if you have it, if you don't have it, that's okay. If you've got the video I sent you beforehand, pull it up if you have it. If you don't have it, come in here and tell me you don't. So I'll wrap it up. He hasn't come in here, so I think he's got it. I just want to. I think he's got it.
What's this video?
That's just a.
It's just.
He's just not here. Joe's gone. No, he's here. Shout out to the Red Sox for making this happen.
Well, here it is. They don't know it. They don't fucking hate. They don't give a single sanitized fuck. They're happy to be losing. Happy to be losing. We're never going to win.
Oh my God, dude. How do people live like that? How do people live like that? Actually, if I were a Mets fan, I feel like I had high hopes and it wasn't going well, and I've never seen my team.
Even when they're in first place, even when they're crushing it, he does that. But shout out to the Red Sox for making that happen in the first two games.
What's his name again?
Frank the Tank.
Frank the Tank, right.
Frank the Tank. So shout out the Red Sox for making that happen, because I like that something that our guys did caused that. But we're going to wrap it on that. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Episode 215 to Play Tessy. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate it 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on the WEI channel. Subscribe there. Hit the thumbs up on all of our videos. You can find them on the Play Tessy playlist, the podcast playlist. Subscribe to WEI. Find us on the socials at Play Tessy on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. You know the drill. For Sammy, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for Play Tessy episode 215. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.